Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
This isn't Black Sabbath. Hey, good evening, and welcome to Man Up with Carl Bott and Perry Crumans. Ted may show up later tonight, but we never know about Ted. So he'll either be here or he won't be here.
He's always on the run.
On the run. That's it. That's what we should be playing is on the run. Anyway, hey, welcome to Man Up. Hope everybody's had a good day today. It looks like we're getting ready for some rain and maybe some thunderstorms here in the next day or two, according to the weather reports. Ozzy died. Ozzy Osbourne died today. Hulk Hogan.
The Hulkster's gone.
The Hulkster's gone. 71 years old. Linda and I argued about this for 5 minutes. She goes, they mean 81. I said, no, they're saying 71. She goes, no. Yeah. She says, her girlfriend, lived across the street down in, Los Angeles, Hollywood, someplace, across the street from Hulk Hogan. And she said, he was older than that. I said, nope. And so finally she looked it up. And, 71. Okay, he was 71. I thought he was older, not because he necessarily acted like it or looked
but he
older.
Sure looked like it.
Yeah, well, when you take steroids a lot and that. But, this guy was world famous.
Absolutely.
He was a wrestler. Made millions of dollars a year.
And he was a really good advocate for what we love.
Yeah, he's there during the Trump rallies and ripping his shirt off and
yeah.
Anyway, but Hulk Hogan, he 71, and heart attack.
He looked. I mean, he never looked healthy because he was always red faced and screaming and yelling. But he sure didn't look unhealthy when he was helping Trump out, in November.
Yeah. Well, you look at them and the damage they do to themselves, they cut themselves in their foreheads and everything like this, get the blood going. I saw how they did that one time, it's in there, they've got a little sharp edge of like a razor blade. And they reach up during they're getting hit and they just make the cut and then the next guy, if he hits it,
it opens it up.
And dang. So they get the blood all over him. But still, he was just, like I said, world famous.
He made
wrestling back then in the 80s.
Yeah, what was it, the WWE or something
WWE.
Like that?
WWE, yeah.
It was always humorous to watch, but, I'm always amazed that some people thought it was real.
That's okay. I'm getting ready to have on a guest on our morning show, Flatlander, Flat Earther. I know him. Yeah. I know him. I didn't know that, but, I don't know him well, but I'm going to interview him because there's people out there, there's large groups or
they still think it's flat.
Say the earth is flat. The landing on the moon wasn't real. What else?
And the couple space people, the astronauts we just rescued, they weren't real.
Well, it doesn't mean they weren't up in the air.
But looking back, it sure looked round.
I said, but what about all the photographs from all these different countries? But he'll be on. And I just can't wait to hear what he says. And how do you know this? Yeah.
What's more logical?
What's the reasoning behind it?
Yeah.
If you sail far enough, you're going to fall off the edge of the world?
Yeah, you got to wonder where, because some of this stuff's been around for just about forever. And
hello.
I guess there's some still stragglers, holder honors, right?
Yeah. So. Anyway, so what have you been doing? You were in Wyoming last time we had a show.
Montana. Red Lodge, Montana. And I'll tell you right now.
What's the difference between Wyoming and Montana?
A couple hours.
Yeah.
That's about it.
It's got to be like South Dakota and North Dakota.
It pretty much is, And same with that part of Yellowstone and Idaho. All that country is really similar, that high desert stuff that breaks into some trees. But I'll tell you that Red Lodge, Montana, if you ever vacation to like Yellowstone Park, instead of taking the right turn to Cody, Wyoming, take the left turn to Red Lodge, Montana, and go over the Beartooth Highway.
Uh-huh.
It's probably some of the most beautiful stuff I've ever seen.
Okay.
I
rode my motorcycle, up through Sturgis and then, would come back through Wyoming and then went up to Montana and then back down through, Swan River Valley in Idaho.
Oh, yeah,
in
Idaho, yeah.
And that, and making a run.
That's
long
pretty,
run
that's
that
some
time.
Pretty stuff too. There,
oh
along,
my gosh,
along
yeah.
The Tetons and all
whoa,
that.
Oh, down yeah. There, it's in the, southeastern part of Idaho, and you come right across from, I'm thinking,
Afton, you know.
Yeah, somewhere around in there, and you come in, but.
You probably went through that cowboy bar in Jackson Hole, didn't you?
I can't imagine why I would go to a cowboy bar in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, but yes.
Yeah.
And in Cody
because
went through.
There was 100 motorcycles there is
well,
why.
It didn't make any difference for my riding partner and me. You know, this guy had a nose for, great bars that we'd be driving through a town and all of a sudden his head would come up and start looking around and we'd go off the main street or the street we're going through to keep going and he'd make a couple of turns and
knew where
end up, and there was a bar there and it was usually a great bar.
Wow. Dang it. Well,
he found one in Goldfield, Nevada that, you know, I would have never found. Nobody would ever find it. I mean, you walk in and the boards look like on the floor.
You could see through
the
dirt.
It looked like they'd been there 100 years. I mean, they were warped.
And they might have been there 100 years.
Then it had a wood-burning stove in the middle of the place to keep it warm. And I mean, you could get splinters off the bar. I mean, it was great place.
It sounds
like a great place.
Yeah. And they just welcomed you when you walked in,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Hey, what do you have? It's just anything you got.
Yeah.
They were limited on their choices.
Dusty whiskey.
Whiskey. Where's the label on this? Well, we just bottled it. We haven't got the labels on it yet. Okay. There well, good. How is that? Whoa!
Yeah.
And what you didn't drink, you put into the gas tank of your motorcycle and just drive it.
Got you to the next bar,
got
right?
To the next bar. Yep.
Yeah.
So are you, when are you going to move to Montana?
Wyoming, actually.
Or Wyoming.
Yeah.
But you were just in Montana.
I was in Montana.
But you got to move to Wyoming.
Yeah. I was probably a couple. I was going to go by Wyoming while I was there, but I ran out of time. You know, I've been doing some stuff at the house. We just took that. I don't know if you've been up our street at all, but we just took that.
I saw that.
That redwood tree, man, and what a shame we had to take that out.
I drive by there at least once a day, and I always look at your house and see, what are they doing now? And Linda says, Perry put all that stuff in? I said, no, Perry had a lot. I said, yeah, Perry did a lot of that.
Well, you know, that's the kitchen points that you can get automatic if you do your own landscaping and save yourself about $15,000. But it's not easy work, I'll tell you.
Mm-mm.
But I had to wait because we had that crane in the front yard to get that redwood tree out.
Yeah.
So I had to pull
it
out.
We're talking about a tree, a huge tree, but it was what? It was leaning toward the house and all?
Well, what happened is it was just
dying?
It was dying, and the limbs,
limbs
were starting to break off. Every time we had a windstorm, you know, a couple limbs would hit the roof. And we hadn't had one go through the roof yet.
But you would have.
Oh, well, they're coming from 65 feet up.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time.
And as it turns out, the guy that took the wood to mill, he said, you know, I think the tree was dying. It didn't have any sap. So.
Well, we had a tree in our backyard that had been there, gosh, who knows how many years, at least since the 40s. And it just hollowed out. And, but still, we had an arborist look at it, and he goes, no, you're still in there. And somebody had trimmed it back, and then it started growing it had some growths on it, you know, and brought the guy out again. He goes, no, he says, once it gets that, it's just, it's going to come down. So we had it removed, and, they ran a stump grinder on it, which kind of worked. I was beating the rest of it with an axe and everything.
But it's gone.
But it's been it's been gone for 10 years now.
So our deal was we actually reclaimed the tree because someone wanted it to mill.
Yeah.
So the logs had to be a certain length. And so the bottom of the tree, the last log that he cut, and I'll tell you, those guys that climb those trees and cut are no joke. I'm telling you. They're up there hanging at whatever off the side of a tree. But the last log, the guy with the crane, he has a scale.
Yeah.
As he picks it up, it was a little over 10 feet long, and it was 5,000 pounds.
No.
Yeah, the last log.
How big around was it?
That tree was 48 inches through at the base.
Okay.
Yeah, so 4 feet. It didn't look that big when it was up, but when it was down on the ground, boy, it opened up a lot of space and it looked really big.
Yeah, you've got a big front yard now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here with Perry Crimmins. We're just talking about taking trees down and the fact that the Hulkster, Hulk Hogan, passed away this morning. Ozzy Osbourne Tuesday.
Yeah, so I mean, not a good week for old guys.
Yeah, that's two. I mean, Ozzy was, what, he was 77. And I gave away, something on Tuesday when I said, if anybody can tell me how many times Ozzy Osbourne went to the Betty Ford Center, you get this. And somebody called him at the right, did he have the right number, Dave, or not? Remember?
No.
Didn't have the right number. You know?
Was it double digit?
Wait, I will give $25 in Black Bear Diner bucks. Anybody that calls in and can tell me within two how many times that Ozzy Osbourne went to Betty Ford Center to be rehabbed.
Yeah.
Within two. And, so, and 605-4567, $25 you can pick up here.
Yeah. And we might even throw in dessert if you can guess within $2,000 how much he spent.
Okay, we'll be right back after these messages.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
This season, Hunter Roofing is stepping up to the plate. As proud sponsors of Colt 45's baseball, we're cheering on every home run and keeping your home protected. From storm repairs to full replacements, trust the pros who bring quality to every job. Hunter Roofing, where quality meets the sky. Support local, keep your home in winning shape, and root for the Colt 45s. Visit hunterroofing.org today.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
This summer, stack the deck in your favor with a night of music, laughter, and Broadway magic with the Shasta College summer musical comedy, Guys and Dolls. Be enthralled by the talents of over 30 singers and actors as they bring this Tony Award-winning classic to life with unforgettable songs, dazzling dancing, and fast-paced fun the whole family will enjoy. Evening performances run July 18th through the 26th, with two matinees on July 20th and 27th, and a special ASL show on July 24th at the Shasta College Theater in Reading. Tickets are $20 for general admission, $15 for seniors, and just $5 for students. Reserve your seats now at shastacollege.edu/artsevents. Have some cool family fun this summer with the classic and affordable live orchestra musical, Guys and Dolls. Get your tickets today. See you at the show.
Hey, welcome back to Man Up with Perry Crimmins and Carl Botten. Good evening, my friends. I was telling Perry during the break that the state of California, I just heard this from Heather Hadwick, and we've been talking a lot on the show here, but also, okay, I will put that on. I need to talk to this guy real badly also.
Put him on the air.
No, not that badly. Who knows? Heather Hadwick sent out this thing. You know, we've been talking about this wolf depredation problems people are having. And the state of California has just put in the budget, it's official, $2 million in funding for wolf livestock compensation programs. There was estimated between statewide, this could be the loss to wolves. Each wolf can cause between $69,000 and $162,000 in direct and indirect costs. Of course, direct costs, they take down the animal. But yeah. Indirect is keeping them moving, pregnancy loss, weight loss, stress on the animals. So $2 million in there to compensate farmers and ranchers.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully they continue to do so, because even though they hired, I think some 30 some agents to go haze.
Yeah.
And that's what their job is, to
haze wolves away.
Wolves away from the cows. But I think the wolves being dispersers as they are, they just can't find them all.
Well, here's the thing. They've got probably every pack has at least one animal with a collar. And the fishing game was putting out in areas, the general area of where the wolves were. Mm-hmm. So if you had a ranch in that area and you see, you know, hey, I've got wolves here on the North 40, they could kind of move their animals away. Yeah. I know that they were hiring range riders in Washington State, Idaho, Montana, and this. And their whole mission in life was being out on the range, keeping track of the wolves, and then trying to keep the wolves away from the cows. And part of their job was, you know, in working with ranchers, is to haze cattle, say, if they're in one area, haze them down to another area, you know, away from wolves.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, wolves travel faster than cows do.
And so. Horses, and they're pretty good trackers.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they just found that one wolf pack in Yellowstone, 48 wolves in it, largest recorded pack that anybody can remember. And this pack breaks up into smaller packs when the food gets a little scarce, and then they merge back together again. It's remarkable the study they're doing on this thing.
Yeah, so I heard, you know, and coming through Yellowstone when I came back from Montana, there was thousands of bison and their babies and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, why is there no wolves around here, right? Because, I mean, they were out in the flats, and I mean, literally thousands of them.
Yeah.
And so I got to talking to some people, and apparently what bison do is they all, and this is, you know, over years and years and years of generations of figuring it out, they have all their babies on the same day. So, or probably within the same 24 hours. And,
wow.
what happens is, the wolves have a giant frenzy for a few days while the babies are all over, and then they're overwhelmed with whatever, can't eat enough, or they're done, and then
they can only eat so much.
Then the calves that are remaining, they're big enough to move at that time, and the herd protects them. So talk about animals figuring out how to adapt and propagate and survive.
7 years since the car fire. July 23rd. And you were closer to the fire than I was, and you just lived down the block from me. But
yeah.
the police chief at that point, I'm trying to remember who that was, 7 years ago.
Roger.
Oh, yeah.
Roger Moore.
Yeah, and he said that if it had jumped Bonaventura, you know, it was up already in Sunset Terrace. And he said if it had jumped Bonaventura, he would have evacuated all of downtown.
He would have had to.
Because, you know, older homes, a lot more wood.
You know, our neighborhood is just tree after tree after tree with green belts on both sides.
Yeah. And so he said he would have had, you know, he would have put the order up. Because it was when we saw it that night, and I've still got a couple photos. It looks like it's at the end of the street. Of course, it wasn't. But the glow of the fire and the smoke. And we loaded up. We made three runs from our house downtown here and put everything in the station. I mean, it's no guarantee, but, you know, it's all brick and everything.
We kept running to the top of the hill and looking across Benton, of course.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you feel a little comfortable with having that runway as a buffer, But there's really, if you, when you drive down the street, you look and you go, nah, those trees all connect.
Well, the other thing too is it was blasting out these little balls of pitch that were on fire that they'd land, they would, if they hit something, they'd stick to it. And that's all you need is to have a couple of those stick to your house and get started. Man.
Yeah. If it started, and the other day I was looking like, between you and I and that green belt, there's a digger pine there that's brown and dead, and it's a big one.
Yeah,
they need to get it out of there because it's a fire hazard for sure. You know.
Well, we've got wooden fences, and people are out there with wooden decks. We have a brick deck, but
you're surrounded by a lot of wood.
By a lot of wood. Yeah. It was just like no. You know, let me put it this way: if the fence had caught on fire, it'd been like a fuse. Yeah. It would come all the way down and jumped under our house.
Yeah.
So I just moved all the, you know, tried to move all the guns and, you know, things that.
Both of them, right? You only have two.
I only have one. So it wasn't easy. I mean, it wasn't hard. I picked it up and threw it in the back of the car.
Yeah.
But you know. You want to move things like that, you know, and Linda's running in circles and, yeah. Honey, what do you want to take? And so then she made her little list and we loaded up the truck and the car and got everything down here. And then luckily we did not have to evacuate.
Yeah. So I found out after the fact that as I was staring at my safe thinking that my documents and everything were safe in there.
Oh, no.
No. So we had a friend of ours, they got burned up on Muletown Road, right?
Yeah.
Well, his safe full of guns
was
just a pile of rubble inside.
Yeah.
You know, the safe was still intact.
Yeah.
And it looked like, oh, it's just burnt on the outside. No, he opened up and everything inside was incinerated.
Well, I have a friend had a couple of them down there in the along the river. Right down there toward the, Lake Redding and that, you know, the suburbs out there in the back. I think Lieutenant, you know, Jeremy Stoke died in that neighborhood, in fact. His safe blew open because of ammunition that was in there.
Geez.
When he went in there and he's looking through his safe and he saw, what is this silver in here? Well, it wasn't. It was his guns
melted.
The frames had melted and it was, that's how hot it got. Safe, it will be fire resistant for a few minutes, but you put 1,000 degrees in there, that's it. So a lot of stuff going on in our country right now.
And community.
Yeah. Yeah. This thing with the, coming out of the Justice Department about Obama and the FBI and the CIA colluding to take Trump down after he won the election. They thought, one, that he would never win the election, and they were doing all this to make, you know, the Russiagate and all this kind of stuff. And then to find out that, they're linking it to President Obama, of course, denies it, says this is all a bunch of BS they're making up. That's been really interesting. I haven't really delved deep into it because I can only take so much a day.
Oh, you and me both. I got this. And you know what, though? I go back and forth so I can draw my own conclusion.
Yeah.
And if anybody doesn't go back and forth and listen to whatever CNN or MSNBC and say that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Then there's something wrong with you. You know, wrong.
No, Fox, you need to go back and forth. Yeah. The one thing I won't do is go to The View. I will not listen to The View. I have never,
The only time I listen to The View is if I'm watching, like there's this fellow named Devorah Darkin that does a pretty good job of, he has a YouTube channel and he does ground news. So it's both sides, both sides of the story and gets what he calls the bottom line. Well, they show clips every once in a while of some of the dumb stuff that they say on The View. And I have to think, how are they still in business?
Well, you know, they claim that they are number one in, you know, afternoon talk shows. I mean, maybe, I don't know how many afternoon on regular channels, not the whole enchilada there. But they're number one in talk shows, and they've got a lot of, you know, the important 25 to 39, you know, group and all this. I mean, I don't know because I don't watch it.
Except
things I see on reels when one of them will say something. When Whoopi said that black people in the United States have it worse than Iranian women. And I mean, there was a lot of responses on that, including, you know, from a lot of Black Americans that said, "You are."
She should have a little short story book about all the dumb stuff she said, and you know.
Well, she's sitting there as a millionaire many times over.
Yeah.
And she's obviously never been to a country that, if she expressed herself, the first thing they do is just beat her, first of all, with sticks. No, that's what
they
do.
If they even let her in.
Yeah, and they just beat her with sticks and then throw her in jail.
Yeah.
Just like that. And when you wouldn't hear from Whoopi for a long time.
Yeah, she should talk to Rosie and see how things are in
Ireland. Ireland.
Yeah, they probably, you know, make sure she's drunk every
day. Who else was it? Ellen DeGeneres? She went over to England. I mean, it's at least when they said, if Trump wins, I'm leaving. Well, they did it.
Yeah.
Okay, great. But all the rest of you people that said, if Trump wins, I'm leaving, and don't.
Yeah.
Well,
they just
it's like everything else you say. Yeah. All right, we got to take a quick break. I'm here with Perry Crimmins, Carl Bout, and Perry Crimmins. When we come back, we've got some local stuff to talk about. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Fix it.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Get ready for the day with the Sue McClain News Hour on KCNR. Your weekday weather forecast sets you up to seize any moment, rain or shine. Brought to you by the Queen of Dragons, a value-driven local spot offering premium flour, edibles, and concentrates with free delivery to Shasta Lake. Their Flower Friday special lasts all weekend till supplies run out. Hurry over. Check them out on X, Facebook, or thequeenofdragons.com. KCNR keeps you in the loop every day.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
It was on the streets of Pinar del Rio. You remember the smell of her hair. You thought, white gardenias. You shared dinner, then coffee. Then came that beautiful aroma of the cigar. You forgot her name, but not the cigar. La Roma de Cuba, mi amor. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
No pensé que fuera.
I'm ready.
ZZ Top. I saw ZZ Top twice. Once right here at the Cascade.
Oh.
Or maybe it was at the Civic. But maybe it was at the Civic. Yeah, Ted and I went. And
that was probably
the first show.
Time.
Yeah, the first time I saw him was at Sturgis at the motorcycle rally. He and his brother, I was like 20 feet away from the stage, you know,
yeah.
Kind of on the side watching. And As he says, you know, we've been playing the same, was it three chords for 50 years, and you're still here. And everybody's like, ah!
They loved it.
Yeah, they loved it. Yeah. Carl Bott with Perry Crummins. The county is going to start holding property owners responsible for the conditions of the property. And in fact, they looked at 13 cases, and they're going to charge property owners for bringing them back up into compliance. Because they've been warned several times, and they're either ignored or people just don't do it.
Good.
So, well, yeah, because especially in fire areas.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't do no good to make your house as fire resistant as possible. Yeah. You never make it fireproof, but it's fire resistant. And your next door neighbor's sitting there with, you know, tons of undergrowth, all this that they need to clear out.
Yeah, so, a fuel source.
Yeah, a fuel. They kind of reduced the fuel source a little bit. Yeah. I got no problem with that.
The thing about Redding is we're so, all of our communities are so, have a lot of vegetation. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are older. And we are surrounded by forest.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if a fire gets heading our way, I mean, it's not exactly the best thing. We've experienced it, unfortunately, the last few years too much. You know. So that defensible space is real.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Of course it is. You know, we looked at a house one time. It met all the qualifications except one. I'm standing in the backyard. There's a swimming pool, and I'm looking across from the swimming pool about another 20 feet in the forest.
Right there.
Was there. And we're not talking just some pine trees. We're talking,
the real forest.
Red wood.
Manzanita
was everywhere, which burns wonderfully. Yeah. And there's little trails through there. And I'm looking, I'm walking through the trails, had a little gun range, and I'm looking at everything. And I said, no matter what they charge you for this house, add another $60,000-$70,000 just to be able to try and clear out some of this underbrush.
Yeah.
Because the manzanita does not cut easy. That is some hard
wood. It grows back.
And it grows back unless you poison or do something to the stumps and all this. But the house was really nice, but it was just, I mean, and this was before the insurance company stopped, you know, before they started canceling all the insurance.
Yeah. You know, that's kind of a sore subject these days is insurance companies.
Well, I just saw that State Farm raised their rates 27% in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
In Illinois. And I'm thinking, what's in Illinois? Is it like tornadoes or what is it, flooding? Why would they raise their rates that much?
Yeah, they have way more ice there, so you wouldn't think there'd be fires.
Not during the winter, but
no.
I don't remember any big fires going on.
Well,
there.
I did a little. So I happened across one of those congressional things where they're calling each other whatever, you know,
names
and using the F-bomb like it's, you know, it's really a word. And they had some insurance guy up there. They were grilling because apparently what State Farm had been doing is their agents, they were making them go out and reevaluate claims and come back with a lesser value. And what I got out of the conversation is the CEO of State Farm is bringing $26 million a year in. So it's pretty likely how he negotiated his contract, he has to bring some more margin into the company. So maybe that's why they raised the rates in Illinois.
Well, they're saying, State Farm is saying that home insurance claims costs are exceeding premiums collected in the state. And last year, the total cost amounted to $1.26 for every dollar the premium it collected. So, such losses are unsustainable. So, we're just raising it an average of like $750 a year. It's adding $746 to the average policyholder's annual premium, which is roughly $2,000 a month, about $176 a month. Well, now they're going to add, 27% to that.
That's just homeowners. That's not your auto insurance,
which
they stood on their hands so long with all the new vehicles. And now the new vehicles, they figured out how expensive they are to fix. they have to.
How do you, the insurance on a, like an electric vehicle like the Tesla, and we see these things just burn, start burning for, you know, some nefarious reason, not somebody started, it was just, when it's charging, it just, this ain't working for me, and it, you know, starts a fire. I don't have a Tesla. But there are a number of Teslas, and there seem to be growing on my street. You know, first it was guys across the street, and they've got like two Teslas and another hybrid. And then the people next to them got a Tesla, and another one on the other side got a Tesla. I almost feel like I need to buy another diesel truck.
Yeah.
To kind of, you know, kind of average it out there. But.
Well, these,
Well,
so last week. Said,
where do you charge these things? They've got, you know, they got the cords coming out from our house, and they're charging.
Yeah, so last, it was a couple Wednesdays ago, my wife and I went on a whitewater raft trip down on the American River out of Auburn.
Yeah.
Well, one of her friends and her husband and their kids, they met us in Auburn. Well, they drove from San Francisco, south of San Francisco where they live. They had just purchased a hybrid. Not a hybrid, but an actual full electric.
Okay.
A Volt.
Yeah.
So it was full electric. So they got to Auburn. And we were going to have some dinner that night or go have a beer or something like that. They had to find a place where they can charge their car so they can make it back home.
Yeah.
So you can only make it like 220 to 240 miles on one charge.
Yeah.
Where's that getting you, right? And if you have to stop for 30 or 40 or an hour in every time.
Yeah. And here's the thing is they say when you're charging like an electric car, when you hit that 80% mark, you can get to that relatively quick. It's when you want to get to that 100%, you'll be there another 45 minutes. Meanwhile, people are backing up,
ready
you know,
to
in line.
Fight,
if you hit your 80, take off, you'll find another one down the road. But even that, you know, and people have finally seen the light. I mean, if you live in town, electric cars are a great idea. If you're just, you know, you're driving down to Red Bluff and.
Yeah, your town cars.
But if you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna haul something or you're gonna go, you know, down to Sacramento and maybe down to, gosh, you know, Fresno or someplace, my truck or Linda's little gas car will get down there, all the way down there on a tank of gas and then part of the way back on that diesel, I can, you know, I can make 500 miles.
Yeah, when I fill mine up, it says 600 miles to empty.
I've had that too. It says 610 miles to empty. So, you can get to San Diego on that. Depending on, you know, and adjust all the time while you're driving. But if you're on cruise control.
Yeah.
And it's relatively straight. I mean.
So we decided if there was any electric vehicle it would be a hybrid like what Ted got.
Ted got a hybrid.
Yeah, he bought him a little hybrid Subaru. So.
When did you do that?
Last week. You know how Ted rolls. he didn't want to wear that truck out.
Well, that's Linda's next car. She wants to find a hybrid SUV. I've got no problem with that. I've got friends who've got hybrids, and he says, I spent $60 on gas last year because he usually drives around town. He did say that when he went to Sacramento, that's when he found out that the tank only holds 10 gallons.
Yeah.
So he goes, it's not a big tank there, but that's what a hybrid will do. It'll get you can take it long distances. Yeah.
He said, Ted said his first 17 miles every day are free.
Free.
Yeah.
Free because he had charged it during the night.
Charged it and it didn't use gas yet.
Free? Yeah. But he's, you know, if he's living out in PG&E land, I might, you know, say, how much did that cost me?
Yeah.
Try and figure it out like that. So he did it last week, huh?
It was like last week.
My brother,
week
you
before.
Didn't even tell me about it. Yeah. I thought he was gone. Wasn't he gone?
He was gone somewhere.
He was gone. And then, so he came back and bought a hybrid because he was putting a lot of miles on that diesel.
He was, you know, going back and forth to Davis all the time.
Yeah, all the time. So,
Okay.
We got to take a break here. We're talking things that aren't really important about anything except hybrids. And I understand hybrids because you can get a hybrid truck and if, you know, that could haul things.
Yeah.
I can understand that. But, you know, as long as you've got the ability, when you're up in the mountains there, that you've got gas.
You got to have it, yeah.
Yeah, you got to have an internal combustion engine.
So I saw last week in one of those Rivian trucks. Are those full electric or are they hybrids?
I'm not sure. I think those were... I'm not sure.
And it was a cool looking truck.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I thought, man, I could drive that truck.
Well, I saw an all electric F-150. Mm. Beautiful truck. And she says it's fast and it's quiet. And I said, what can you haul with it? She goes, nothing. She said, well, I put my, she's an interior decorator. I can throw my stuff in the back. And she said, that's fine.
And myself.
I said, but what about like a horse trailer? No. Yeah. And she says, and I won't even drive it down to Sacramento.
Yeah.
Because I'd have to charge it, and get it all the way back here. And she says, but I'll go to Red Bluff. But that's about as far south as I go. And I went, oh, okay.
Yeah, the cool factor goes away when it's non-functional.
We'll be right back. Carl Bott, Perry Crimmins, Man Up.
Across the desert, bear man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence. You can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Hi, this is Sue McClain from the Sue McClain NewsHour on KCNR. And I want to tell you about Kevin Wall Allstate Insurance at 2861 Churn Creek Road, Sweeby. A few years ago, my daughter's car was stolen, and my first thought was, where do I begin? Well, my first call, Kevin Wall Allstate Insurance at 530-222-2306. They walked me through the process and made it so much easier. So if you're looking for insurance for your auto, home, life, or business, call Kevin Wall Allstate Insurance at 530-222-2306.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Wings of Summer, butterflies at Turtle Bay Exploration Park, open now through August 10th.
Featuring hundreds of butterflies in a tranquil, enclosed garden within Turtle Bay's wildlife woods in Paul Bunyan's forest camp.
Release an emerging butterfly, feed them, and identify each species. Perfect for nature enthusiasts of all ages.
Wings of Summer Butterflies at Turtle Bay is presented by Lassen Canyon Nursery.
Now through August 10th.
Free for members, included with admission.
Discover this and more at turtlebay.org.
U.S. appeals. You guys are going to pull some back to the church.
Man, that's good music. That's good music.
Yeah, I'm sitting here. And when I'm reading, hey, welcome back to Man Up with Carl Bott and Perry Crimmins. You'll score blocks California's background checks for ammunition buyers. Now, as you know, that several years ago, the state of California decided, well, we're going to do background checks if you want to buy ammo, whether it's a box of 22, a box of 20 gauge for doves, or you know, 100 boxes of 45 ammo. So they do a background check. And then it was like a buck. And they then just raised it this year to what, $5?
$5 per transaction.
Per transaction. Yeah. So they said the law violates the Second Amendment. A panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit ruled in a 2-1 decision. So what they'll do probably now is take it to the whole Ninth District.
All nine of them or whatever it is.
10 or 12 of them, whatever. How many?
Down there in San Francisco.
Sucking off the, the government's milk.
Yeah.
Memory. Okay. In 2-1 decision, they found the law violated the Second Amendment. By subjecting Californians to background checks for all ammunition purposes, California's ammunition background check regime infringes on the fundamental right to keep and bear arms, said Judge Sandra S. Okuta. And it was unclear on Thursday whether the ruling would be the end of litigation, which began in 2018. The state of California could ask for a rehearing by a larger group of judges from the Ninth Circuit. You know they're going to do that. They're going to try.
Well, they're probably burning San Francisco down right now.
Anyway, you've got Just for Hunting.
I do.
That's your business. And what's going on with that?
Well, right now, as you know, is summertime in Redding, and dang, have we been blessed with some good weather this week.
Yeah.
In the high 80s, so we're kind of, the slow time. But the fall's coming around, and we got a few things going on. People are wanting to go hunting, of course, and I want to go hunting myself. So,
well, are people still coming up here from the Bay Area to hunt hogs?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There's a huge, for lack of better description, a huge masculinity void. So
what?
Yeah. So the guys down in San Francisco, the tech guys. So there's like all these guys that they invented an app, so they're worth $30 million now.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do with themselves. So they're spending their money on hunting or outdoor activities,
Yeah.
And that's great. We love it, And people are really still trending towards their own food. They want to see what they're getting, They want to harvest their own food. So it's a win-win for the outdoor world. But at the same time, which I don't think will ever overpopulate hunters in California. It just won't happen. We have so many people here. And we have so much opportunity.
Yeah.
So we'll take it. But there's still a trend towards that, guys wanting to be guys and get out and experience adventures.
Well, Ted and I taught a gun class, gun handling class to 9 pharmacists out of San Francisco. And, 8 pharmacists and one that was going through pharmacy school and got cancer of the brain, and he's absolutely fine now, but he got blinded by the operation. But I was out there and I had him shooting. I had him hitting the target all the time. But they came out for it was a bachelor party, and this was the present to the bridegroom. We all came out, shot all day long with, semi-automatic rifles and shotguns and pistols and did shooting games with them, and they loved it. They just loved it.
Who wouldn't? That's just real fun.
And some of them have never handled a firearm before, ever.
They were probably scared to death of it when you started out.
Not so much scared as they were, but they were cautious.
Yeah.
But the thing is, when you work with really smart.
Well, they should be. That's a good student, right?
Yeah, and they're all smart. And when you're working with a smart person, that's a lot easier because especially if they don't have any experience, they're going to listen to you. They understand what you're saying, and they're going to do it.
Yeah. And pharmacists and doctors, so they understand that this projectile.
Well, they're all pharmacists.
They probably still.
They all went to school together. They grew up together.
Yeah.
And in San Francisco, in the Asian community down there, it was really a great day. But as far as hunting goes, it's just like you said, you're seeing a lot of people from the cities. They want that. They want to know that they're bringing home meat that is wild.
They know what it is.
Yeah. It hasn't been put through processing and all this, and, deer, boar, or hog,
or anything,
elk, any of those. And they're out hunting.
Started with chickens in their backyard, but that didn't go very far.
So, are you, now, you've pretty much finished up the turkey hunting, or do you have going?
No,
is that next year? You got another year. Seven states or something?
Yeah, no, we'll, Ted and I will probably do a eastern seaboard, swing, maybe North Carolina on up into New York or something like that, just because of now that we have that early time frame out of the way, that the opening days back there are the middle of April on. So we can go in the middle of April and actually go to three or four or five states. Yeah. Before, there was only two or three states that were open early.
Yeah.
So that, and we'll probably do something in the middle part of the states, maybe some Oklahoma stuff or Colorado, Nebraska, something like that. Just depends on time, too.
You don't see another Hawaii trip. And for sure you don't see another Mexico trip.
I see a Mexico trip because I love it, man. I love it. I like that.
You didn't, you didn't have an AK-47 pointed at you enough?
Well, I did, but I'll go to Southern. I'll go to Campeche. And we'll turn it into a vacation and, turkey hunt for a couple of days and then go to the ruins and the beach or something.
You're going to fly in and fly out?
Yeah, so.
Well, that's, I think that's okay.
I think so. I think, it might be pretty rough in some of the mountains now in Mexico. Yeah. I've only heard or seen what's on TV. I haven't really talked to my guys down there. But they really don't want to lose our tourism, that's for sure.
Well, they may not want to lose their tourism, but when you have an AK-47 pointed at you and they steal your truck,
it's a pretty good discouragement.
Even if they take all of your stuff out of the truck and give it to you and say, hasta luego, and off they go. I mean,
it's still a pretty good deterrent.
It is still a pretty good deterrent. There's certain places I don't want to go. Yeah. Mexico's one of them. You will not get me back to the Middle East. I don't care how beautiful Istanbul is. You will not get me. Have I seen the pyramids? No. Do I plan on it? No.
So you don't want to go
there? I've seen plenty of pictures. I've seen Cleopatra. I've seen all that kind of stuff. No, I'm not ever going to go back to the Middle East.
No Tajikistan for a Marco Polo sheep or anything?
Now, if I was... No. No, I'm not going to do that either.
Yeah.
Now, Mongolia, I don't count. Mongolia is different. That's different.
It's
Asian.
It's its own island in the world.
Well, and I saw a Mongolian endurance ride. It goes for 10 days or something. People die on it.
On mules or something?
You're using Mongolian horses.
Oh.
Mongolian horses are
that tall.
They're like a large pony.
Your feet are touching the ground.
Yeah, and they're tough and everything. And you come in and you don't even get to hardly pick your horse. I mean, there's your horse, And the horse may or may not be able to make it to the next spot. And I mean, it is, what a wild and challenging ride that is. And you stay in the yurts at night and they feed you goat milk and other things. And
at 17,000 feet.
Crossing rivers. So those things. Hey, tomorrow morning we got a guy by the name Chris McQuillum is going to be on our guest on Free Fire Radio. He is a retired highway patrolman and he wants to start a series called Behind the Badge. Talking about impact of doing police work and all first responders, nurses, all these doctors and all this, impact it has on the individuals. We had the DA on Wednesday. They have mental health professionals coming in because post-traumatic stress in the DA's office, because what they deal with, pedophilia, child molestation, domestic violence, murder, all this kind of stuff. Starts building up.
And not only that.
I can understand that.
Not only that, the personal threats,
Oh, yeah. And so, he's going to be on tomorrow morning, and I'm kind of looking forward to hearing him. And then we've got somebody that is a true flat earther. And not tomorrow, and we'll set that up. And
I was going to say those two together. That might be a good conversation.
No. But I heard about it, and he said, yeah, I'd like to come on. And I'm more than happy to give him a platform to explain this thing. In fact, it'll probably be easier for him to explain Flat Earth than it is the Democrats to explain why we should vote for them up here in the North State.
He's got a better chance of getting...
He's got a better chance.
He does. Yeah, hey, definitely keep me abreast of that.
I will.
I'd like to hear the conversation, too. That's certainly interesting.
Always calling with a question.
Yeah.
Okay, buddy. Thanks for be with us today.
Absolutely. Tonight. I'm glad we can get together and it worked out, and hopefully we get next month as well. And then, see if we then can find fall, Ted. The fall starts. And
then we'll go back to reruns from the summer.
We'll make it work.
We'll make it work. Hey, everybody, you have a great evening. I think we're maybe getting some thunderstorms tomorrow, so be aware. It's going to be a beautiful night, and maybe it will be a beautiful, cooler day tomorrow.
Yeah. Halfway through the summer, continue to enjoy.
And God bless America.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.